the more that we can communicate, the better the outcome is going to be for the patient.
Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast, a podcast all about working smarter, not harder, pushing dentists to go beyond dental school dentistry and build the practice of your dreams. Here is your host, the Millennial Dentist himself, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Millennial Dentist Podcast. Happy 4th of July. I guess that was last week or a couple weeks ago. Hopefully y'all had a great time out, you know, doing things. If you're listening to this later in life, 4th of July happened. Hopefully it was great. Maybe we're at another 4th of July, 2025. You just never know. Personally, I went to the lake. That was a blast. My dad caught our trailer on fire with fireworks. He was so dedicated to the cause, he ran out of propane. And if you know my dad, or if you've been around him at all, he's a great follow, at TN Gunmaster. But yeah, he's a great follow. So he's so dedicated to the cause, right? That he runs out of propane, but he's still got like a number of fireworks left and to do like the grand finale. So what he does is at this point, boxes are now catching on fire. Like previous fireworks are now catching on fire. So he uses the cardboard from the previous fireworks to light the fireworks on fire for the grand finale. You can't make this shit up. Anyways, don't turn us in. But yeah, we had a great 4th. It was fun. You know, it was fun seeing all the kiddos getting some serious sunburn. Anywho, what we're going to talk about today is we're going to get a little more clinical today. We got to be more descriptive in how we treatment plan, work with our labs, and deliver great results. So remember, this podcast is sponsored by 3D Dentists, which basically means it's sponsored by me and T-Bone, I guess, in that regard. And we'd love for you to come take courses with us. So if you are interested in doing things like learning to place dental implants or getting more involved in our programs, a great program that we've talked about recently is our 3D treatment planning program. It's a great comprehensive diagnosis, you know, looking at things in a facially comprehensive manner. Next program's in, I believe, November here in Nashville. So check that out. So yeah, so you know, this happened. Most podcast topics either are questions or things that, you know, people will message me, or their real life experience of like my kind of like baggage, basically. And so, and now what's happening is more and more, you actually hear more about my associate's baggage, just because I'm not doing as much clinically, but I'm playing a serious role in, you know, being a coach for them and a mentor to them and trying to help guide them. And I kind of take an approach of, I'd say I give a pretty good leash as far as like what they're able to go and do with the expectations that they know what they're doing. And then I like to kind of touch base with them throughout the process and then to follow up. And then, you know, to me, the best kind of coaching, which this is kind of a good conversation too, is the coaching that you allow them to get to the point of failure. And then right before they like take the leap, you know, take the jump, that you grab them, right? Like you let them explore the area, and then before they put themselves in danger, then you re-catch them. That way you prevent the failure, ideally, because like at the end of the day, sometimes that does happen and that's okay, but like that means that a patient's, you know, either their treatment outcome isn't as good, it delays the process. And those are realistic challenges, but I think that we can get the same learning experience by letting them be right to the edge, but then keeping them from actually making the mistake, you know, when we can. So this happens this morning. One of our doctors is doing their first hybrid. So he's done the case, implants are in, sends off the prosthetic, and he's never done this before, right? Like he's done surgery. It's not like that the surgery's new, but he's never really done this in a digital workflow with the way that we get design and the way we communicate with the labs. So we get and I just happened to get the email of the file back from the designer. So this is no different than, you know, this is a hybrid scenario, but this is no different than getting a mock-up done, right? Or getting a wax-up, or getting someone to send you final crowns to review before you have them make them. And so I happened to click on the email and pull up the design, and usually they send a little exocad view so you could just kind of look at the design and see what it looks like. So I pull it up, and I immediately notice that there's something that I would have done differently. And just to kind of briefly describe what it is it's going to be a very minimal conservative restoration. There's not going to be a lot of tissue. It's more like a bridge design, right? A bridge design that's off multi-unit. So therefore, we want the we want the pontix to be cleansable and to start to go into the tissue because this one site was an immediate. So there's an extraction site there. So we want to train the tissue around this pontic in a way that it will be cleansable. And the way that will grow back some level of papilla, right, or create a papilla so that the aesthetic result is really good. Now, if we had kept it flat, would it have been the end of the world? No, but this guy has a low lip line. It probably would not have been that big of a deal, but it's a great learning experience to me because one, when it does matter, you can't make those kind of little mistakes. And two, it's a good learning experience and what doesn't happen. So I go to him and I'm like, hey, walk me through the conversation. When you sent this to the lab, he said, yeah, we sent it to Roe. And I was like, well, they're great. And so I said, well, what did you tell them? And he was basically like, you know, and this is, you'll laugh because dentists do this all the time. It's like make bridge from 3 to 5, right? Like that is the chain A1. That's like the extent of the feedback or detail that we'll give them. And hopefully you're not one of these people, but the reality is most of us are, and we don't know much different. So that's an area where like, I know I've been bad about just sending it to the lab, crossing my fingers and hoping that it works. And the reality is that tends to get back good outcomes, but not great outcomes. And, you know, the more that I do this, the more that I'm trying to not only deliver good outcomes, but really to deliver like clinically excellent dentistry, right? And that's what I want to teach to the doctors that we work with is that we want to maintain not just an excellence of clinically acceptable, but how do we keep growing to be great? And so I said, well, you know, here's what I would do differently, right? I would try to contour the pontic in a way that would fit this to start training the tissue. And he's like, no, I totally get that. That's a great idea. And I said, but ultimately this comes back to just us not giving a lot of information. And it's an area where I think we're just not great in. And so, you know, we're photos sent, our shade photos sent. And so when you talk about trying to move into an area or a level of dentistry, it goes back to what I've been saying a lot lately. If you want different results, you got to do things differently. And to achieve that kind of, it doesn't matter necessarily on one tooth, unless it's like number 8, you know, but when you're working on a posterior tooth or even a quadrant of teeth, that level of detail doesn't necessarily make as big of a difference. But when you start to get into the aesthetic zone and trying to deliver a different level of care, we've got to give better feedback. And so, and I think our lab partners would appreciate this. It's been eye-opening to me just because now that we're essentially fully vertically integrated our practice. So at this point now we're doing our own designs, we're doing our own milling, and I'm feeling what the lab feels because I see all our other doctors, myself included, and we send stuff to the lab and the lab prescriptions are very, very basic. And so I think about, okay, what is a good lab prescription need, right? To me, I think it's got to start with the patient's chief complaint. Like, what did the patient, why are we doing this? What is our goal? What is our end goal? Are there anything specific to the patient in their words that they want to have? I'll give you an example. This morning, I had a patient who, she's going to do some cosmetic dentistry, and her biggest thing is she wanted them to look natural. Natural. And she kept talking about translucency, natural and translucency. Those are like two big words that I took from that conversation. So if I'm in a position where I'm not like we are here, where we're making them in house, and even then, right, because I'm prescribing this and sending this to my lab, I've got to make these notes because on the same token, there could be a patient that wants opaque and white. And so what we give to the lab as far as the description of what we're trying to accomplish makes a big difference. And so those would be words that I would want to give them. Otherwise, you kind of just get you get whatever the lab technician's natural artistic ability is going to be, right? All of us have a tendency to lean in some way. Like you all dress a certain way, right? It may not be my style, it may not be someone else's style, but you like it. I don't think teeth are that much different in that. You have a natural style that you're going to lean towards, and that's good, but we got to make sure that we uphold the patient's expectations. So the patient's chief complaint, the patient's, their words is one thing that I would put. The second thing is we got to send photos. We got to send full face photos, some close-up photos, and even when once we get into really doing high-end work, we got to send stump shade photos, photos with shade guides next to them, because this is going to help them ultimately choose the right color. It's been funny. A lot of times what I'm noticing is our doctors will send a case to the lab And then the lab will say, hey, based off what they're telling me, I really think this is the shade that we should go with, or this is the translucent she would go with. And to me, that's really helpful information, because ultimately the technician and the lab should know the material better than even the dentist, right? They're working with it. They know how it's going to turn out. And my goal is really, as a lab technician, is to deliver the result that the patient wants, or the shade that you give me. So if you say shade A1, I need to not necessarily, maybe I use A1 in a block, maybe I use something different, and like it needs to get to A1, but ultimately what I deliver has got to be an A1, right? So the more photos that I can give is helpful, because if I've got a tooth where perhaps it's like in this case, there's a lot of darkness, the stump shade's very dark, they say they want A1, they're not necessarily, I as a dentist, I'm not telling you I want A1, I'm telling you I want an A1 result. And so that may not be use A1 based off what the stump shade that you say, or there should needs to be some level of discussion about what kind of cement you're going to use. Are you planning on using a clear cement, an opaque cement? And so these type of conversations are really helpful to be had. My dad, it's funny, he used to do, his lab script used to say this, call me. And it's somewhat facetious, but it's actually great, because what was happening was he had worked with one technician in one lab for a long, long time, the bulk of his career. And so what he didn't want to do was just type out some long saga. He wanted to have a conversation. He wanted to send photos and send the data. And then once the technician had the data in front of them, then to call and have a conversation. That way he could talk about it fresh, from what he's looking at, and the technician could actually see what is in front of them as they're having a conversation. It's actually a really great way to do it. Now, that may not be realistic all the time for today's age, but we still have the ability to communicate. And what I would say is, like, what if you sent a video message, right? Like, you just took a phone and you just recorded a message saying, hey, this is what I want to do, blah, blah, blah. It may be a better way to articulate exactly what you're trying to accomplish versus just having to type it all out in the email. For me, I know that's definitely the case, because I don't like typing a bunch. The point is that we've got to find a way to deliver better details in the prescription that we give them. So number one we talked about is what the patient wants. Number two is the photos. And then number three, I think, is the detailed description, right? It's outlining exactly what it is that you're trying to accomplish, the nuances, and then giving, I always want them to reach out to me or call me if they have questions. And then last but not least, which I think is as important, is feedback. It's follow-up, right? We've got to give our technicians in our labs praise and feedback. Meaning, if there's things that we don't like, we need to tell them. If there's things that we like, we need to tell them. I've been bad in the past about not giving the positive, only giving the negative. And that's no fun to be on that side of. And so it's been great, and obviously having some technicians in our office now, which we started out with assistants and then slowly moved up, is that they can actually come in there and see the work and see what's going on. So just like I would send photos on the front end, now what I'll do is what I would tell you to do is to send take after photos, so that you can send the after photos and say, hey, great result, patient was happy, here's what we could have maybe done a little different. Absolutely blew it out of the park, look how beautiful this is. So I think that goes a really, really long way to building that relationship with your technicians, with the designers, with the people you work with, so that they obviously know the impact they're having, because they don't get to normally see that on a day-to-day basis. And they're way more willing to listen to you when they see photos of the outcome and what you're articulating, what maybe you didn't like or you did like. So hopefully this has been helpful. It was a great reminder to me today about just that need for that communication and for having to constantly be better about when you work with other people or the other people involved in the process, they've got to be brought along. It's no different in our practice when we hand things off, when we get a handoff or we pass them off to a treatment coordinator. The more that we can communicate, the better the outcome is going to be for the patient. So yeah, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and work smarter and harder. See you next time.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.